The hardest stories for me always are the stories from the younger girls and women who are looking forward to professional lives, who had all these plans and ambitions to become pilots and engineers and, you know, doctors. And it's hardest for me to talk to them because I don't know how to give them hope. They essentially feel like they're being buried alive by the Taliban, because although they are breathing, they're alive, but they can't really move outside the house. They can't work. They can't study. They can't pursue their dreams. And they feel in a way that it's a dark future is waiting for them, that there is no possibility for them to meaningfully contribute to the society. And so whenever I talk to them, they tell me, tell us this will end. When will this end?
You're in exile. Tell us more about your story, please.
I'm the former head of the Afghan Independent Human Rights Commission, which was an A-status national human rights institution in Afghanistan. We had 400 staff across the country. We were documenting and reporting on human rights violations. And we were constantly attacked as well. We had lost several colleagues to violence. But the organization was there for Afghans to come to. Unfortunately, with the return of Taliban to power, the work of the commission inside Afghanistan became impossible. Our staff went to hiding. I and the commissioners, the leadership of the commission, and many of our staff had to leave the country. We tried to evacuate them and resettle them. And an 18-year journey came to a very abrupt and dramatic end. I was faced with a very difficult situation of not being able to return to my country, to my work, to my home, to my community. And I continued doing my human rights work through a new human rights organization, Rawadori. But every day I yearn for being back. And I know that there is great need in Afghanistan for doing the kind of work that we are trying to do.
In few words, how can you summarize the current situation in Afghanistan today, and in particular the situation of women and girls?
I think that what captures the situation in Afghanistan for women and girls is really the fact that it is a situation of gender apartheid. Women are being deprived of their basic fundamental rights because they are women. They are not allowed to study, they are not allowed to work, they are not allowed to be in politics, they are not allowed to move around freely. Afghanistan has turned into a mass graveyard for the dreams and ambitions of Afghan women and girls. And the situation, if it was happening on, we have seen this happen in the world before, of course, South Africa being the prime example, on the basis of race, a similar thing is happening in Afghanistan. So being a woman, women tell me in Afghanistan, they feel like they're being treated as criminals for being women. And the consequences are, of course, unfortunately going to be intergenerational, because already for more than 600 days, Afghan girls have not been able to attend secondary schools. So the consequences, unfortunately, going to be experienced by everyone in Afghanistan.
Today, your message went out to 193 member states. What do you expect from them, and how can they best support you?
Well, we had several concrete recommendations. The world needs to recognize Taliban's policies for what they are. They are policies of a gender apartheid. And this should inform the world's engagement with the Taliban. Interaction and engagement has to go on, of course, and as well as humanitarian support to Afghanistan. But there should also be accountability for crimes against humanity that Taliban are committing, for gender prosecution that's being implemented by the Taliban. So strengthen accountability mechanisms through creating an international accountability mechanism, through supporting the mandate of the special rapporteur and renewing that mandate, through assisting ICC to carry out its investigation and look into the crime of gender persecution, and to continue to give platforms and support to Afghan women inside the country as well as outside.
What is your organization doing about that exactly?
Rawadori documents human rights violations in Afghanistan, and we have a network of data providers who assist us do this inside the country. We report on these violations, and mainly we do our reporting in English as well, but mainly in Farsi and Pashto, because we think it's important for Afghans and for victims and survivors to see their truth reflected, because there's also a lot of misinformation. Taliban do not like these violations to be known. But we also are trying to keep the human rights culture of Afghanistan alive in this time of turmoil and in this time of shrinking civic space inside the country. When human rights defenders have been forced out or in hiding inside the country, it's very important to keep the conversation going using social media, using virtual meetings and consultations. And we are pursuing accountability. So we are working, assisting, providing information to all the different efforts for accountability that are going on, whether through the mandate of Special Rapporteur or the ICC, or efforts that are aimed at getting ICJ, International Court of Justice, to act.
Lastly, what is your message today?
We are all part of a human family. we all should stand in solidarity with each other. The brave Afghan women inside Afghanistan are risking their lives every day to resist Taliban's policies. Let's stand with them in any way we can. Sometimes that's just about sharing news about Afghanistan. Sometimes it's through support, if you can, of the work of organizations working on Afghanistan, focused on Afghanistan inside the country. And it is pressuring the member states, our governments, the governments around the world, to take concrete steps to end impunity.